Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Every smile hides a secret, and some of them are deadly. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreeke.
It has been one thing after another of weak evidence that can easily be questioned and so reasonable doubt. Looking at some of the questions, you know, that were answered and asked here in his interrogation, how do you explain the cartridge found at the scene matching your gun? Meaning actually the bullet. I don't even know how my bullet would have gotten out there if that's my bullet. There's no way. That's Richard Allen's answer. Then are you the mastermind behind this? And he kind of laughs and goes, mastermind. Do you know Ron Logan? No, which Ron Logan is dead. It was his property. There was a lot of questions of if it was Ron Logan, which it may be. Again, never been charged. But he's dead. What do you want to tell? What want me to tell the prosecutor? I want you to tell them whatever you want to tell them. How did the bullet from the gun get there? I don't know. Were you the last person to contact Abby and Libby? I never met them. Just a barrage of like, I don't know what you're talking about. Now, if you're guilty, you know, you don't want to put yourself there, but this whole thing just doesn't read like somebody trying to be evasive. It reads like somebody who's getting pushed into a corner, and eventually they want to make him guilty, and he's getting pissed because he sees what's going on, and eventually is like, "No, you're effing crazy. This is not. I'm done. I'm done with this." And he walks out. I mean, you were just talking about that. The way that they conducted this interview was not in any way that it's going to benefit this case or get any sort of information out of him that's incriminating.
No, there's a few things in just the transcript we have. I'm looking at the one you are that struck me. So right at the very beginning of it, I thought his non-direct answers to specific questions was a little alarming, very minorly. But what really got there's a few things that really got me on this one is he disclosed he had suicidal thoughts.
Sure.
That shows a level of transparency that typically people that are trying to hide things typically don't do.
Yeah.
You know, and so the fact that he had, again, things that inspire trust is open, honest communication, transparency, and vulnerability. Sharing those things with the officers showed a level of transparency, openness, and vulnerability. So that's very trustworthy behavior. They could have really capitalized on that because he seemed to be there with a great mindset of trying to help them. He volunteered to
exactly.
go in there. Right? And here's where they blew it. They could have – they took an opportunity. So he started getting a little reticent because of what they thought they were doing, because what they started doing was they started showing him his shame. He's got stuff. There's stuff on my phone I might not want you to see on my computers. In other words – porn, something like that he's afraid, as every human being is he's going to be shown his shame because as an investigator, I'm telling you, everyone's got something no one wants to see.
Sure.
It's not like you're killing someone.
No, it's like it's criminal either. I mean, it's just embarrassing.
So they could have done a very simple thing called a rationalization, projections, and minimizers, a great investigative technique where they can let him know, like, listen, we know there's going to be stuff on there because we see things like this all the time. We're not looking to shame you because, again, you know, this kind of stuff is very common. We just want to have some transparency so we can rule you out. So if you're willing to do this, you know, we just want to look for X, Y, and Z. Let him feel safe that it's okay to share, that you're not going to be shamed or accused of something else because we're just doing our due diligence to rule you out. In other words, if they kept him on that before he had the perception that he's being pushed off the cliff of being a subject, they had a great opportunity to have the transparency they really needed to rule him out. And they wasted it.
Yeah, I mean, they really they completely botched this. It's going to be so interesting to see what the defense brings to light. I don't even know what they need to even bring up. Honestly, I wouldn't even touch Odinism at this point. I know they were like, we want to bring this up. I don't think they need that. You're right. They don't. I feel like the prosecution has really laid out, we don't have a case against this man. We really jumped to judgment. There's not a lot of evidence here in any of this that points to it being him. Leave Odinism out. Don't touch it. That makes you look a little crazy, I think, if you start bringing that up, even if it is true.
And my apologies to anyone listening that thinks it's 100% him. Mm-hmm. And I will completely change my mind on that if presented with any data on this. And the only, the thing that really strikes me on this case, very similar to the Rachel Morin case in Maryland, where she's killed and she's raped on the trail in the woods. And there was no one they found. Well, you know why? Because it was not a local guy. It was an illegal that came from LA all the way over to Maryland. So it was a transient guy that was just randomly doing horrendous things to women. Mm-hmm. And there could be that case in here too. Yeah. I mean, we don't know because of I know there's other things involved because normally it's family people or people in someone's life that know someone, but they're not even entertaining other aspects of someone it could be because they're trying to make a square peg fit in a round hole here. And I just don't see the connection with his behavior with the act that was committed.
Well, the thing is, there are such ace in the hole suspects in this case. That's what makes it crazy. Ron Logan was one. He's dead. And then you got the guy who was talking to her online, which we have records of it, even planning to meet her that day that they were murdered. But he says, I didn't go do it. He's in jail for 40 some years on child porn. Seems like a good suspect of all the people. Like, we're going after the CVS guy who, by the way, they eventually did get his devices and all 23 show zero signs of anything to do with the murder of these kids.
So they're not even considering the guy that's in jail for child porn that was in communication with one of these girls.
Yeah. No, I mean, they've essentially ruled him out because he said he has this alibi. And it's like, okay, he went to jail. It baffles the mind. Either they're covering something up because somebody is involved here that shouldn't be, that's higher up, or they're just continuing to cover up their shitty investigation and don't want to be embarrassed by it. I'm kind of going towards the latter, that they don't want to be embarrassed and they have such pride that they're not able to do it. They can't say that they were wrong because it means like pretty much everybody was wrong in that department.
So we base everything off of data points. Mm-hmm. And again, the more data points we have, the stronger conclusions we can make. But just looking at the transcript from the interview says the data points is they just were not good at doing this investigation.
No, I think that's what it was. A small town. They weren't very experienced in something like this. Do I say they were trying their best? Sure, because it's all they knew.
Absolutely.
I don't think they had the right tools, the right training to handle things the way that would have been more efficient. But at the same point, you have to admit that at some point and go, we were wrong. Like this, but they just kept going. And it's gone this far. There's no turning back at this point.
Right.
Other than to find your turning point of he was found not guilty. Okay, then they can walk away with their heads held high, saying that they did their best. They thought everything was on the up and up, and it's all good. Same way with elections. Not going to say a side here, but because I think it could be used on either side. If you're a person and you're just so diehard on them, no matter what sort of horrible, crazy shit this person has said, according to your viewpoint, if they lose, that's your off-ramp. You don't have to admit that you were wrong. You don't have to admit that all these horrible things you were getting behind. They're done. Well, it's in the past. And then that's the off ramp and it's a safe exit. Some people dig themselves into shit so deep that they need that off ramp to come up at some point in time, no matter how deep they have to keep going to get there. But eventually they get there. And I think that's what's happening with Delphi.
Unfortunately, we got to, as always, go back to the victims' families in this one. And I mean, no matter what the outcome of this is, do you think the victims' families might have peace that they have a result they can live with, that they know what happened? Well, they know what happened. I mean, I thought it was the testimony the other day was pretty grisly in about how the girls died, how long it took and things like that. And so, but the who in it, no matter what the jury comes back with, are you going to be convinced of the who was found right?
No, I think if they convict him, I think there's still questions. If they find him innocent, then that leaves it still out there. And I don't know how much of an investigation they're going to have after this, especially if it was kind of one of those lone wolves. I mean, granted, yes, statistically, it would be somebody that they knew or somebody that's been paying attention, something. But there are those lone wolves, like you said, Rachel Morin. It does happen. It's not completely impossible that there was just some nutcase that went through town that day, went for a walk and killed these kids. Without much evidence, what are you going to do? They didn't investigate it all that well either. So they missed a lot of opportunities on evidence. So it may just be an unsolved mystery by the end of the day, unless something else happens here. But I think if you convict Richard Allen, if you're the parents, I think I'd be really questioning that. And I don't think I'd feel good about that as a parent. I'm not in their shoes. I can't say that. It'd be a totally different world to be in. But I think I would still be like, did we really get the right guy, or did we just ruin another person's life just because we wanted to have justice? Because that's supposed to make us feel good, when in the end it really doesn't, because you're still not sure.
I know. I hope at some point they have the resources, if he's found innocent, to go after who they could also now think it is. I would really like a deeper dive on the guy that was a pedophile in jail.
I want to know his connections. I want to know who else he was talking to, because a lot of times those people do not operate together, and maybe it wasn't him. If his alibi stands up, Keegan Klein is his name, by the way. Never been charged. This is just pure conjecture, because it's really questionable. But if there's a network that he's with, I don't think it's crazy enough to say, hey, you know, I was going to meet these girls down here. Why don't you go and say it's me? You don't go meet him.
An alibi of a convicted pedophile. I wonder how reliable that is.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, none of it's reliable. But if you just try to dive into the twisted world of what else could have happened here, I think he's your prime suspect, at least having some knowledge of what the hell happened to these kids, whether he was the actual person or not. I don't think it gets any more in your face of you were going to meet the girls that day. You are a child predator. And supposedly you didn't go meet the girls the day they were murdered. You didn't go. You chose not to. I don't buy it. There's something there. And I don't know why they don't want to investigate him further. If he's connected to somebody, I don't know. There's too many questions and too many bad actors in this.
Remember, red flags are smoke. And that guy's got two red flags. And that is pedophile and was going to meet them. Richard Allen's one red flag was he was in the area, but it was negated by the fact that he said he was in the area.
Yeah, he volunteered it. I don't know what to say. It just keeps going. The defense, of course, we're going to watch. I'll keep you up to date every day on how all of that plays out in Delphi, Indiana. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Let's be honest. Nothing kills the thrill of a good murder mystery like a commercial for laundry detergent. It's like someone slapping a closed sign on your favorite dive bar. But you're not here for that, are you? You're here for the good stuff. So ditch the ads and upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get your crime straight. No chaser. Commercial free with extended interviews and early access. It's like getting the bartender's special when the bar's already closed. Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and drink it all in.